One of the more famous, well-known questions surrounding Parshas Maaseh is this list of locations that bear no meaning. We don't really know most of these places. They aren't tagged to important events, whether they are high moments and watershed moments of the Midbar or low and bleak moments of Jewish rebellion. Either way, many of these places, most of these places, have absolutely no cross links in the Torah. Captures a very sad period of 38 years walking through the desert, a desert of hopelessness, their only future being one of death and certain oblivion. Why does the Torah, which doesn't typically mince words, why does the Torah spend so much time and waste, so to speak, so many words on these irrelevant locations, which are only important for archaeologists, we would think? They're not important, there's no Kiddushah, they're not like Har HaMoriah, even Har Sinai, to be honest, which is not really the topic of this year, but even Har Sinai has no lasting Kiddushah. Certainly these nondescript desert encampments. Rashi, of course, already relates to this, but there's a fascinating Medrash, and the Medrash essentially fuses two different points. They really are separate. I don't think there's much of a relationship between the two, but it's fascinating to consider each of these comments of the Medrash. The first assertion of the Medrash is that these locations are listed to heighten or to spotlight the importance of hosting and the gratitude we're meant to display towards our hosts and the value of Hachnasas Orchim. These locations hosted the Jewish people in the desert. The hosting was very temporary, and of course, the hosting was inanimate. It's not as if these locations are real people with real feelings, they're not personified, but very often to highlight a moral value, Chazal will depersonify or locate it within a non-personified element just to highlight how important, not just how important it is, but how reflexive it is. The gratitude and displaying and conveying gratitude is not just important because the host will be insulted otherwise, or the host will feel complimented if you convey gratitude appropriately, but it's important for yourself to be able to appreciate and not to take things for granted and to be in touch with your own dependency. So displaying gratitude is important, not just because of the recipient of our displays of gratitude. And this is one such example where the gratitude that this Medrash announces to these locations in the desert that hosted us is important from our standpoint as, so to speak, the proverbial guests. And the Schar HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide these locations, and Hashem himself plays the role of the expresser of gratitude, is he will convert these desert encampments into blooming oases and blooming meadows, based on a pasuk in Yeshaya, Yisusum midbar v'tziyah v'tagel arava v'tifrach kevatzelas parach tifrach v'tagel. And the Medrash, by way of Kal v'chomer, highlights the importance of not just hosting people, but hosting Talmidei Chachamim. Uma midbar al shaki b'Yisrael kach, the desert was rewarded for hosting the Jewish people, the cursed Jewish people, I would add, HaMakebol Talmidei Chachamim l'toch beiso, alachas kama v'kama. Certainly, if someone hosts a Talmud Chacham, another person, either of need or of nobility, of virtue, that person will be rewarded for their Hachnasas Orchim. So the first statement of the Medrash is about these encampments and just the general area of Har Sinai. If you want to generalize beyond the specific coordinates of the Machanot, of the Masaot, generally Har Sinai or Midbar Sinai, that entire area of the desert will be refertilized and replenished, Le'asid Levo, as a sign of gratitude for hosting the Jewish people. And again, it's not as if they hosted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hosted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the water, the shelter, the man, but it's just a trope or device to demonstrate the importance of Hakaras HaTov. The second part of the Medrash has little to do with the moral aspect of Hakaras HaTov, and is more a statement about how apocalyptic and transformational the messianic event will be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention in history, and it won't just change morality, religion, politics, countries, nationalities, but it'll also alter the very landscape of our earth upon which we tread, which we assume to be fixed and permanent and immovable. And yet when Mashiach comes, there'll be major changes, and nothing could be more major or dramatic than transforming deserts into civilization, and by contrast, civilized areas, capital areas, into deserts, into wastelands. And it just, again, it's a metaphor, not just from an ecological standpoint, how much of ecology will actually change, but it's actually a metaphor for how transformational and apocalyptic Mashiach will be, even though there's a very famous statement of Shmuel, Ein beYimosa Mashiach LaOlam HaZeh, Ela Shibud Malchios Bilvad, the only difference between our reality and the post-historical reality is political aspects, whether it's specifically political subjugation of the Jewish people or general political trends. Certainly there are nevuos that suggest differently. And of course there are multiple messianic narratives and many different trajectories, and one of them entails actual wholesale transformation of certain basic realities in our landscape. Now, the change of civilization to a desert is contained in a pasuk in Malachi, and it seems to be retributional and moral, because the civilizations that will be changed are evil ones, and the ones suggested in Malachi or highlighted in Malachi, Esav Sanesi Vasimis Harav Shmama, I will transform Esav's cliffs. And here, cliffs doesn't have to be actually mountains, but high fortresses, built-up areas, civilized cities. I will transform them into Shmama, into desolate area. So that transformation doesn't seem to be ecological or metaphysical. It seems to be moral and retribution, that Esav's arrogance and Esav's exploitation of other peoples and of the Jews will be avenged by converting or transforming their cities into wastelands. But then the Medrash then turns to the inverse transformation, where deserts will be converted into civilized areas, and it doesn't seem obviously to be just moral, as the beginning of the Medrash suggested, but just re-landscaping, reshaping our earth in line with a world that reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's return to being imminent in that world and being obvious and being evident. And the two aspects of the desert that are specifically highlighted is, number one, the growth of trees. There is typically no trees in a desert, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create trees based on a pasuk in Yeshaya. Atein Bamidbar Erez, Shita, Bahadas, V'Yetz, various trees. And not only trees, but passageways and roads. There are no roads, and based on another pasuk in Yeshaya, this time the same Yeshaya Mem Girol, two parakim after Yeshaya Mem Aleph, the images of the trees. Afasim Bamidbar Derech, B'Yishimon Harot. Not just rivers, which suggests fertility and refertilization and replenishing, but also derech, passageways. And the rivers may be the passageways. There could be actual roads. What's interesting is it's not just a wanton or arbitrary transformation. It's if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants to demonstrate the radical apocalyptic nature of a messianic era and upturn or overturn geographic or ecological realities and turn deserts into civilized areas and civilized areas into desert. It's creating a larger domain for human activity. Typically, trees, and especially the trees mentioned in that nevuah, have to be tended to, have to be planted. These aren't just cactus trees which would grow in a desert. These are trees, hadasim especially, that would tend to grow in domestic settings. Erez perhaps needs some tilling. It's not clear whether the erez is or is not a sign of human domain and human control, but certainly passageways and roads are not just important because of how they affect the landscape, but they create passage for human beings. And in our reality, parts of our earth, certainly the deserts, are impassable and can't be tilled or controlled by human hand, and are the chaos and wilderness beyond civilization. And creating passageways and rivers and trees and gardens through deserts doesn't just suggest an ecological makeover, but it also implies extending human control over a broader swath of this planet, as if in a fallen world, pre-Mashiach, the world is divided and man only controls and only can marshal, can only exploit, so to speak, part of this world that Hashem intended for full use and for full marshaling. Once Mashiach comes, with the exception of certain areas that have to be converted into wilderness for moral reasons, namely because they belong to evil and iniquitous nations, man's control over this earth will be exponentially augmented, as evidenced by planting trees and building roads through previously unpassable or impassable deserts. So it's an interesting conversation about Mashiach, which stems from a moral consideration of these places which hosted the Jewish people. And it's just a fascinating way to see how the Medrash extrapolates from a pasuk in Maaseh, a vantage point to Yimasa Mashiach.